Hello, hello everybody, and welcome back to Boiling Point, Faith and Fire. I had to pause for a second because I'm like, what show are we recording right now? What is going on today? You guys, this is the show where belief collides with reality, culture, politics, all the stuff Christians are usually told to whisper about, or they genuinely avoid because they don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. We're not doing that here. Show exists because faith was never meant to sit politely in the corner while the world is on fire. We are supposed to stand up. We are called to speak the truth and wrestle with the hard questions. Okay, we're called to a higher existence, and that's what we're trying to do here. And sometimes that means confrontation. Sometimes that means admitting that we're just still figuring stuff out for ourselves. But one thing we're not going to do here is pretend. Okay? And I'm not doing this alone, you guys. Joining me is my co-host Rory, the podcast king. Hi, Rory.
Podcast King. I like that. That's short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Can't say Podfather, that was taken, but you're
True.
kind of the master.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, my guy Roy took that
Yeah.
moniker, and then
Yeah.
went and stole five other guys' monikers. I don't know.
I love
He's a
it.
rogue. He's just a rogue, that guy.
Yeah.
Love it.
Now, if he comes up with a show called Listen, Bitch, we're gonna have fighting words.
Could happen. Could
Yeah,
happen.
he's on a mission. I love it though. He's definitely passionate about what he does, but yeah. Anyway, what do you have for today? Any news headlines? I actually did not check headlines today.
Unfortunately, there's one that just keeps coming across my feed in like 17 different ways, and I just keep shaking my head because I can't believe it. And that is, even at this juncture, somehow there are Republicans in the Senate that are not willing to vote for a bill that says you have to have an ID to vote in our country.
To stay back.
I don't get it. I'm never going to understand it. I'm like, are you kidding me? And none of them will answer the question about why they aren't willing to support it and why they're not willing to go fight for it. All they keep saying is, we don't have the votes.
Yeah.
Why?
Right.
Okay.
But you know
Why
what
are we
we can't vote for? Like, we can't
not?
vote for voting integrity, but we will vote to protect everyone's sexual misconduct. So if that
Right.
not tell you the state of our government right now, I don't know. I don't know, you guys. It is crazy to me. And voter integrity, it's very simple.
Votes
Having
are public.
the
They're
same thing
public.
that you need to drive your car, to, you know, everything. Like everything. I buy my husband freaking whatever, and I get carded, and not a big deal. But to vote, it's free game. It just doesn't make sense. You know why they're
Yeah, and vote.
Yeah.
Well, the votes are public too. So, call the vote. If you don't have the votes, great. Call the vote and prove it. And then any Republican who didn't vote for it can stand there and tell the world why.
Right.
And they won't do that. So there's all this deal making behind the scenes where nobody wants to embarrass anybody else. And I'm like, what are you doing? They're guaranteeing that we lose the midterms. And God help us all when that happens. It
Yeah.
will be President Hakeem Jeffries. President Jeffries is what you're going to
Was
have
a joke. I
if
mean,
they
people are
win.
gonna laugh that off. People are gonna be like, ha, he's so funny. No. I get it. You guys,
No.
not a joke, and we're not being funny. That is literally what is coming.
100%, that's what's coming.
And everything you hate, everything you've complained about, even now, do you think that's gonna get better? Because it's not. It's definitely not.
No, any progress that anybody saw on anything in the last year plus, gone. Gone. Gas prices skyrocket overnight.
Yeah.
Everything in the world changes overnight. Illegal aliens take over the country overnight. It will literally be that fast. And I mean, that's how bad things are. And that's what Republicans are going to let happen. And I'm just sitting here going, you fought your butts off to get back into power. And now you're shooting yourselves in both feet to make sure you can't take another step. And I don't know what to do with that. So that's what's on my feed this morning is just anguish and despair. And are you joking anymore?
Yeah.
Because yeah, Yeah, they can come together for that to say we're not going to release the names of who did what, but they won't put the vote out. I at this point, Thune, dude, if you aren't willing to have a vote so that everybody can see who votes for what, get
Yeah.
out. Get out. Quit, step down, get out. He's the worst thing that happened to the entire MAGA movement is that guy. And I knew it when they elected him
Yeah.
as the majority leader. I went, well, that goodbye to the agenda. It's over. Really awful. So yeah, that's on my plate. But hey, I'm sure you have three or four things that you want to throw out there.
Well, I'll talk about what I did see on my feed. And I didn't go through headlines, like actual news. So I don't know if anyone's talking about it, but I saw a clip of Trump in the Oval Office, dropping the hammer on the Russian hoax, like it's payback. And Flynn is behind him, calling it treason. And this is about Obama. Like he literally said, "I'm coming for you." Because he's the one that kicked off the whole shady mess. We know was true. We know what he did. Like, guilty. He's caught dead to rights using, if he was using the intel agencies, you guys, to spy on Trump's campaign. And he cooked up this fake Russian story that we all knew that's what he was doing, basically trying to steal the election before it happened. And I mean, Trump, this was out of his mouth. He said he's guilty. This was treason. And that is definitely not subtle because, I mean, you could tell people were kind of stunned that he's talking about that. So, my question, obviously, I'm like, man, could it be possible? Because I've not seen, I mean, I don't know. Could Obama actually face justice? And what I know to be true, you guys, I know everyone gets really impatient because y'all got that microwave mentality and you want everything now, now, now. Like, this is not an overnight handcuffs moment, but I do feel like the ball is rolling this time because there was the referral and the investigation kickoff is done. Tulsi already dumped a pile of declassified docs showing Obama's team's fingerprints all over this conspiracy, misleading the public, rigging intel reports. She sent a criminal referral straight to the DOJ. Now, I don't know how much I really I don't know if Cash is going to drop the ball on this, but they did set up a special task team. They're digging into this, like they're taking it serious. They're pulling records, they're interviewing witnesses, they're building the case. So it's not, they're not just talking about it. I want you guys to understand there is official paperwork moving. And what happens if the evidence stacks up between the texts and the emails and Obama's signatures on the bad intel, they go to a secret jury, a grand jury, and those folks decide if there's enough to indict. So this is where stuff gets muddy because are these guys bought and paid for? But this would be the basic formal, like your charge paper for treason or related crimes, like obviously the conspiracy to defraud the government. That is where they would get the arrest warrants. Okay. So you can't really hide behind that former president excuse. Indictment, you guys, this is the process. Okay. I know we learned this in like the fifth grade, so a lot of people forget kind of how the system actually works. That's when you go to court, and that's when prosecutors will lay out proof in an open trial. And if he's actually convicted on treason, which would be rare as hell because Constitution kind of defines it super narrow, helping enemies or making war on the US, it's heavy, right? That's life in prison, that's death penalty, and it's really almost never used. They'd likely charge like conspiracy or obstruction for stuff. And my question is too, because I feel like, isn't that a massive roadblock? And I don't know a lot about how far this goes, but presidential immunity. Like, I think that it was the Supreme Court, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, that's fine. I think it was the Supreme Court that ruled that ex-presidents like Obama get rock solid protection for anything that was like an official act. And I use that in air quotes. While you guys are listening, because official act, like Obama's not an idiot. I feel like he knew what he was doing and he has weaponized our justice system because he's smart about that stuff. He's very smart about that. So I'm a little, both sides are going to be looking for like the loops to get through this. But I don't know. I don't know if this means that, prosecutors can't even touch this or use it as evidence in court. It's all official White House business, right? The whole Russian intel mess was official White House business. So, unfortunately, what could happen is a judge could just toss this out. And especially if we have a Democrat judge, if we have a Soros-funded judge, if we have a judge that has sold his soul, like that really sucks. It sucks because the proof is here. And again, this is where the system is going to kind of fail us. But totally official, they're going through the process, and immunity doesn't block the investigation. I know that much, just the trial on that stuff. So I know Trump's team is going to hunt for all the angles to catch this, from slipping past it, like maybe new evidence or kind of they need to frame it as an unofficial conspiracy. So, yeah, Trump lit the fuse today. Flynn's hyping it. DOJ's grinding away. Could happen if they thread the needle on the immunity issue and prove the treason level betrayal beyond a reasonable doubt. But the system is slow on purpose. And I just, you guys are gonna, I'm telling you about this, and 6 months from now, you can be like, what the hell happened? He's not in prison. I mean, this is why. It takes time. And it's gonna be years, appeals. But I feel like Trump makes things move fast. Whether we agree with everything he does or not, he doesn't really drag his feet. So I don't know. And Obama's team, I tried to see what their kind of reaction was, and they're pretty much just like, it's a bizarre distraction. The machine's moving, so
Right.
we'll see. And absolutely, this would be epic if it sticks. And then why not the Clintons next? There's something fishy about those guys too, anyway, but I don't know.
Yeah, they're gonna do what Hillary did back in the Monica Lewinsky days, and they're gonna say it's a vast right wing conspiracy against Barack Obama, and it's all fueled by racism, and that's gonna be the entire thing.
Oh.
Barack Obama never sees the inside of a jail, never sees the inside of a prison. If anything happens, my take on this, I love that they put it in Tulsi's hands because she's so independent of all the other stuff. I think they almost saved her for this. It was like she's the pitcher that was made to come in to pitch this game,
Nice.
type of thing in the World Series. And I think she's been prepping for it, and this has been it all along, and the whole bit. So the only thing you've ever seen her anywhere is at Mar-a-Lago, talking about stuff like that. And seizing records for elections and stuff like that. So I think honestly this is a good ploy. I think this is Trump coming out hard, and I think he's going to get some concessions that he needs somewhere along the way. Like, hey, I need this person to stop this, or we need this to end. You have control over that.
Yeah.
Do that, we pardon you, you walk away, yada yada. Otherwise, we drag you through the mud, we do this, yada yada. You got to spend millions on, lawyers. I just think it's a big negotiation because the one thing about Trump is he's the master negotiator. He's the negotiating king. And he's not going to go into anything single-minded and go, oh, I'm going to get him. What do you win by getting Obama?
Yeah.
No judge is ever going to put him in jail. If he goes in front of a judge, it could get dismissed. Everybody knows that. You just said it.
Yep.
I mean, no liberal judge is going to put that president in behind
Not
bars.
at all.
No way in the world. He's revered by that side of the aisle. But there's a ton of evidence, and there's a ton of probably really embarrassing stuff that could come out that could really damage him publicly.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's, I think they have some other stuff on him.
Yeah.
And they're going to frame it this way. That explains why there's cops at his house and why he's coming in and why, but I think there's other stuff going on behind the scenes. Maybe they finally realize Michelle's a guy. I mean, who knows? Something like that. But hey, Brock, I need you to not do this. Give this up. Give us that. It'll be a minor charge. You admit to it. You can't run for office again. We sign this paperwork and you ride off into the sunset. And then you can claim that you were harassed and I was wrong and everything else. But I need this from you right now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing this is all about. Because, I mean, come on, we're supposed to get excited that something is being put in the hands of Pam Bondi and what's his face from the FBI?
Yeah,
Come
that's
on,
where I'm a little like, ugh, those guys again. Ugh,
again, really?
again.
Like,
There's a whole
okay,
lot of
thanks,
stuff.
Cash.
Yeah. That guy.
I'm more disappointed in Cash than I am in Pam.
Yeah.
I mean, I had nothing against Pam, but I really had high hopes for Cash Patel.
Right.
And he has so caved and been bought. And it's so bad.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about him anymore.
Yeah. Do you think there's ever anybody that could show up at the FBI and not sell out, though? Like, I just don't.
Yeah, he left. I think honestly,
Yeah.
Dan was like, I'm not getting in this anymore. I'm out.
Yeah.
He's like, I can make millions at podcasting, or I can wear all of these stains on me for the rest of my life. I am out. He saw the truth on a lot of things and said, I want nothing to do with this. This is worse than I ever imagined. I'm out. He walked out the door. I mean, the guy resigned.
Yeah.
Is the same guy who left multi-million dollar empire industry, had the biggest radio talk show in the whole world because he took over for Rush Limbaugh. He had it all, gave it all up because of his belief in the system and Trump and the whole bit. Gave all that up. And a year later is so destroyed by everything he saw that he's like, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah.
You don't give all that up unless you really do believe that what you're doing is right.
Yeah.
So to then and a year later, give it all up and leave means he saw stuff that turned him sheet white and he can't get over it. He's like, he's starting over in podcasting. Now, granted, he's starting over at, several $1 million, right? You know,
Right.
he's not going back down to the indie level or anything, but he's in a lot of trouble.
Like, I'm not a fan of that guy now because he did sell out like that. I'm not a fan of him. I'm just curious because you have watched him, and I know a lot of guys have. You've known him a lot longer than he's been on my radar. So his following base, how does that look now? Like, has he still got the same people or
Yeah.
wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're coming. He's got a small contingent of people who are mad, like you are, that are going, man, you are our hope.
Yeah.
And the rest of us who have been following him for a long time, he just became a little more real to us. Like, Dan, it was cool that you thought you could go change how bad this is.
Yeah.
But now you've realized it. And now all we really want from you is to just get back to exposing some stuff.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about what you learned? Anything?
Has he exposed
Because he's
anything?
always done it.
Has he exposed anything?
No. No, he claims he's gonna at certain points.
They're gonna kill him if he did. He won't.
He won't. I mean, there's a secrecy thing. There's all these, NDAs that you have to sign when you're that way. He saw stuff that was top secret,
Yeah.
classified beyond belief, that like only the president and him and Cash get to see. He found out things he doesn't want to know.
Exactly.
And so there's a lot of sympathy for guys, for the folks like me who followed him religiously
Yeah.
before he left. I mean, I listen to him every day. I really like the stuff he put out there. I like the way he did it. But there's a lot of sympathy from us to him because, like, he tried to go change the world, like, really actually did try,
Yeah.
gave it all up. And we're all like, man, you gave up millions and almost lost your marriage over this.
Yeah.
And you woke up and said, you know what? It's not worth it. I'll try and do a little bit of change some way, some other way. I'll try and help some other people change it, but I can't do this alone. And he saw stuff that shook him.
Yeah.
And when he talks about certain things now, you can see that he's shaken up. He's not the same guy with the same fire in some instances. It almost looks like he's seeing ghosts behind his eyelids when he's telling some stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little broken right now. And there's a lot of sympathy from guys like me because I don't think I could handle it.
That's the
Really and
thing.
truly.
That's why I respect Trump so much, and it confuses me where people forget. Like, he wasn't a politician and he did walk away from a lot of things to help this country, but he has balls that I think Bongino doesn't because he stuck with it. And whether that means like he had to compromise on some of his values and ethics, I still think at the end of the day, he makes a lot of decisions because he does care about this country. I think, the fact that he's disrupted a lot, like even just thinking about where we are with the whole Iran situation, you guys know, like, the mainstream media is going to do what the media does. So, like, half of them, yay for the operation. The other half are like World War III. And, like, no one's actually given us the full picture of everything. And I will say this, that we don't know what we don't know. Like, Trump is going to know things that we will never get to know. And he knows the full picture. He knows everything Bongino saw. He knows all of that stuff on
Yeah.
top of what he's already juggling. That's heavy to me with what he's doing. But so this, I'm just gonna go into my Iran thing, I guess, because I do want to talk about that today. And in the end, I want you guys to understand, because I listened to this podcast the other day. It's Promethean something, I forgot. But like this lady is just like so soothing to me. I love her.
He's good. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, I listened to her show. We did kill Iran's supreme leader. No one is going to say that they're trying to put his son in his place, which means like nothing's changing. But Trump said he expects, this to last several weeks. And Hegseth confirms, I made sure today I checked this. There's you guys we don't have troops on the ground inside Iran, and the media is freaking out about that, about their kids having to be drafted. First of all, nobody's drafting your Democrat kids, okay? Like they don't even know their gender. I assure you, you're safe, okay? Your little girls are safe, all of them. But it's really just an on-air campaign, really. But this is what everyone's buzzing about. NBC reported that Trump had privately shown interest in deploying like a small contingent of ground troops for a specific strategic purpose. We don't know what he knows, but publicly he keeps reassuring people that we don't need them. So he's not going to take it off the table, though. He'd be an idiot too. The whole point of this, again, like I said, we have his son taking over. And I literally had this guy on, I had a, this guy on another podcast where he writes a book about the how we lose wars. Like we're really good at blowing shit up and breaking things, but like we lose the war because nothing ever really changes and gets fixed in these other countries. And so my thing is, I know that Trump is going to take responsibility where he needs to take responsibility. But there's things that have happened, the Defense Department speculating that combats could be headed. They canceled some of their other trainings. But they also talk about him reaching out to leaders, like potentially Kurdish leaders, to serve as a proxy instead of American soldiers. So boots on the ground is the biggest rumor in Iran right now, and everybody's freaking out about it. And nobody's going to rule it out because we'd be ignorant to do that. It's there could be a point where it is unavoidable, and that's kind of where we are. But I also think like this has been a geopolitical gut punch, and I feel like I agree with my friend, I believe her name is Susan, on this Promethean podcast, and she always talks about how Trump is playing the 4D chess. And I know a lot of the influencers are mocking this. Oh, is he playing chess with everything? Because they just critique everything because apparently they could do a better job. I think that they would tuck their balls and run, just kind of like how I feel Bongino did if they saw the truth. But this is where we are. They're on social media, keyboard warriors. Dun, 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 dun. But Lloyd's of London, you guys, I want to try to explain this the best I can. This is the big British insurance giant that has been calling the shots on tanker insurance forever. This matters. This is an important piece of the puzzle that nobody talks about. But they suspended coverage through the Strait of Hormuz, I think it's called. I don't know how to pronounce it, because of the chaos with like the Iran strikes, and you've got shipping risks that come along with that. They basically choked off a ton of global oil flow. Okay. You guys are blaming Trump. Gas prices. Oh my God. Ah. Yeah. It went up here in Michigan. I get it. But like, this is what these guys did so that it gave the Brits huge leverage over the whole Middle East energy game. And this is what happens. I want you guys to know how fast Trump did this. He stepped in and he dismantled it on three fronts like it's nothing. The US Development Finance Corporation steps up, offers political risk insurance so tankers can keep moving without Lloyd's. He puts the Navy on high alert to protect shipping lanes. No more games. Like, we will literally escort your ship if we need to. And then he eases up on sanctions for Russian oil while he's talking to our friend Putin, opening up alternative flows so the world isn't totally dependent on one narrow strait getting shut down. Boom. Britain's whole Middle East shipping empire is outflanked overnight. And it was literally that fast. It was fast. And I mean, now we could just say the UK is a former ally now, and that is savage. Okay. Trump is basically saying, you guys want to play gatekeeper? Fine. I'll just reroute the entire board. And on top of that, the US is quietly telling Israel to chill the F out on hammering Iran's energy infrastructure. And it's not because we're going soft. I know their strategy behind it. I believe that. They want Iran's oil sector, obviously, mostly intact. So after the regime falls or whatever happens, we could flip it into post-war cooperation instead of turning the place into a smoking crater that nobody can use. Like, we don't want to destroy it. Plus, keeping some Iranian oil online stops China from getting completely squeezed and going nuts, right? So we're not trying. Just playing it cool.
Negotiating, yeah.
Yes, negotiating. But like, we've basically, people have hinted that the Brits have had this cozy financial tie to Islam networks for decades. And they contrast that old neocon crowd, right? Who would they would love nothing more than a full on Iraq style war, you know? And Pentagon, I guess some people are like, oh, this is in 2003. You know, we're not doing regime change chaos again. Like, we want to play for smart stability. So, my thing is, you guys, our president just flipped the script on global energy power. He sidelined an old British financial chokehold, keeping oil from spiking into literally Armageddon territory. And he's setting the stage for whatever comes next with Iran without letting it turn into an endless battle. And I feel like that is who he has shown us he is. Disrupt, protect American interests, and make everybody else adjust to the new reality. And I feel like everybody loses that because of the media. Okay? Because the media, they're doing what they always do, and they run around with their hair on fire trying to scare you into panic mode. Gas prices are going up. That's all I've heard this week. Oil prices are spiking, and every headline is screaming, like, oh, Trump just brought us back to 1979 again. We're about to live in Mad Max. Like, you guys. He's calling for Iran's unconditional surrender. The second he did that, every financial outlet, especially out of London, of course, oil crisis. It's all manufactured. It's manufactured panic, okay? The city of London, not the regular British people. I'm talking about the financial district. Okay. The big insurance players. That's it. That's it. They got the plug pulled out of their little deal. That's it. So they're throwing their tantrum. They're kicking and screaming. And this is the thing. They're obviously, like, who benefits from all the crap? Because it's not going to be you at the gas pump. It's not our truck driver. It's not the single mom trying to get to work. It's the same people it always is, and it's the ones who trade on fear. Like, there's people shorting the market and making billions while you're paying $5 a gallon and you panic about how you're going to feed your kids. It's the financial game they play. And if you follow and connect the dots, that's what you're really going to see. And what they don't want you to know is that Trump did see this coming. He saw it coming. He already moved on it, putting a $20 billion US maritime reinsurance in the escort plan. He did that. We don't need Lloyd's of London anymore. They can eat it. They're done. They're done. He's doing his job where nothing stops. So was there a little blip? Yes. Did everybody freak out? Yes. Your oil guys, those are the ones that are like, spike it. Spike the gas prices. It's not like Trump made a call and said, hey, I need y'all to move it up a dollar. Not happening. Not happening. And this Barbara Boyd is her name. You guys have to look her up because she's been watching this stuff for decades. And, you know, I talked about before how she kind of lays out that this is the same playbook that they've used, like in 79 when everyone's screaming about that, when Iran was modernizing the country and building up their industry and going nuclear for energy, the financial powers didn't like it. And so they got overthrown through a combination of like the human rights campaigns and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But again, prices go through the roof. Who benefits? London banks. London banks. London banks. And here I was just always blaming Israel. London has a hand in a lot of things financially, too. Okay. So I do think that everything that Trump is doing, he's actually removed a long-standing economic weapon here that financial interests have used for a long time. Iran's been the boogeyman because they pull out every time they need to spike oil and crash an economy. And now they're just trying to use it to tank Trump's pro-worker economic agenda before the midterms. That's their game right now. And I'm telling you, do not panic about the dumb stuff. Don't panic about the gas prices. The spike is artificial. I don't know. I haven't been out anywhere in 2 days. I don't look at the gas station on the way to the gym. I have no idea what prices are today, but I'm saying it's temporary. This is just built on insurance games and media fear. It's not an actual supply crisis. The United States is energy dominant. Thank you, President Trump. We produce more oil than we consume, and Trump is actively doing his job, cutting out the middleman for this. And when that stuff takes hold, everything's in motion, prices will come back down, and they're going to come down fast. We are not dependent on Middle East like we used to be. The fundamentals are completely different. So when you see them climbing and someone wants to say that the sky is falling, like somebody's getting paid off your panic. So don't be a useful idiot. Don't give in to them. I need you to stay informed, stay calm, and I want you to see what really happens instead of them telling you what's gonna happen. You know? I just want you guys to pay attention. I want you to be resourced. I want you to dig deeper than what they're gonna show you, literally. Because they don't tell us everything, and we still don't know what we don't know.
Great rant. Oh my gosh. Like really, really, really good rant. You unpacked so many things. I mean, we could do three more shows on the things that you touched on just in that rant. Not the least of which is England's utter complicity in what's going on with their immigration situation, with the radical Islam Brotherhood and everything else that's going on. They have deep, deep, deep Muslim ties, and they decided they were going to turn England into a Muslim country. And that's one of the reasons why, is because they're making all sorts of money hand over fist through their connections. And I think that's one of the reasons why Trump has had nothing, wants nothing to do with, anybody up there, with the whole English alliance. Since he came back, he has had nothing but disdain for them. And he's like, we all know what you're doing. They're trying to like cash out, through the radical Islam movement. That's why they're trying to turn their country, trying to Dearborn their whole country. Just like happened in Dearborn, Michigan. They've been practicing it everywhere. So none of this stuff is an accident. It's going to be another stronghold for that Muslim rule, around Israel, within striking distance, on that side of the pond, so to speak. And that's what they've wanted to do for a while. And they're all complicit in it. And you can't just hand it over. You have to do it over time. So they've been doing that by flooding in more people that can then vote in these elections. So yeah, it's the whole thing is really, really deep, very intricate. You laid a lot of it out really, really well. And the problem is none of it's ever going to see the light of day in terms of mainstream media.
Correct.
If you put that on Facebook today, it'll get taken down by tonight, because nobody wants anybody else to know. So I keep talking about it, keep pushing it
Facebook
so
jail.
that maybe somebody hears it.
Yeah, exactly. And I want you guys to
Right.
do your own research. Like, read the actual executive
Yeah.
orders, read the actual military briefings that are public. You can find that. It just takes a little bit of time. And I want you to look at what's really happening from multiple sources, not just the ones that confirm what you have been told to believe. I want you to challenge yourself. I want you to think critically. And that is your job as a free human being in this country. And for the love of all things holy, read the Bible. And I'm not saying that as like a cool bumper sticker or a light suggestion. I'm saying that as someone who is watching the world lose its ever-loving mind, and the only thing that keeps me grounded is what he has to say. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. Wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, the love of money being the root of evil, financial powers from every country manipulating the masses. It's all in there, like every single bit of this. And the playbooks that we're watching right now, it's already been written about. It's already been written about. So there is no point in panicking. And you shouldn't either. Like, we are called to pray for our leadership. And I'm telling you guys, pray for Trump. Because no matter what he really is and what we don't know, he's made a lot of really incredible moves for the United States of freaking America. And nobody's going to tell you about it. And as much as he brags about himself, he's not even, that's very surface. You know, he does it to troll you guys. As much as he brags about himself, he never really says the deep stuff that he's done. There is a humble part of him, and there's a place of him, there's a part of him that knows how to play the media and keep people's blood spiked. Okay? He plays the game. He's good at that. He's been in front of cameras for a very long time. But the stuff he's done behind the scenes for us, I mean, we need to be grateful. And we need to continue to pray for him, and we need to stay prayed up, and we need to stay informed. Actually informed, not media informed. Like, just get off Facebook for a while. Get off X, get off all of it. Like, turn off the news. Go hug your kids. Go for a walk outside. I don't know. Check on your people. Like, trust, you know, that God holds the universe in his hands, because it's not just the Democrats that I see spiraling on the internet, okay? And I'm really, it's disappointing. It's disappointing that you guys act like you don't know better by now. Like the useful idiot thing, you know, it's easy for y'all to say when you're pointing your finger at the Democrats, but now point a finger back to yourself because you're kind of doing the same exact thing. You're doing the same exact thing. You're living inside the script of social media. Half the voices online are paid, half are guessing, and the other half are really just repeating whatever narrative fits their team. That's it. And I know you guys, it's so easy to get pulled into outrage and hype or hero worshiping, depending on whatever algorithm you're standing in. But remember this, because you will always find evidence for whatever you're already looking for. And my thing is, I prayed for the president. I see the things he's done. I want to continue to look for the truth in what he's doing for our country. Now, if we do find out that he's into some shady stuff, burn him at the stake. I'm fine with that. At the same time, I'm still going to be grateful because he's done some incredible things for this country, unlike a lot of people I know. He's done a lot for this country. So just slow down, pay attention, think for yourself. The world is messy. Like, we only get fragments of the big picture. They put on an act for us, and then they meet behind closed doors, and we don't know what we don't know. And what actually matters is closer to home, your values, your family, your faith, the choices that you're making when no one's clapping. You know, stop getting hypnotized by the chaos of headlines and influencers. Like, go get your house in order. Do you feel good today? Do you feel good today? I think you should go do something that's going to make you feel really, really good, not just get caught up in the media. I'm done with these influencers. I'm done with the lies. The people I thought I could trust have disappointed me every single time. So stand in your convictions and vote in alignment with your morals and ethics and literally the future you want your kids to inherit. And keep your eyes open because midterms are coming. And this is a tight line that we're walking right here. And I'll let Roy close it out today.
That's a great closeout. You got to go vote. You got to go vote. And you got to vote the right way and you got to get it done. That's it. That was a fantastic. When you do a rant like that, you get out of the way. Awesome.
See you guys next week.